Matthew chapter number 16. And we'll read this verse to begin. We'll look at a bunch of different places tonight, so do keep your Bible handy. We'll probably do a lot of scripture references tonight, probably more than I know more than I usually do, more probably than I ever have. But I'm going to be doing that in order to make a point, because there's a lot of misguided teaching out there, I guess you could say, on the church. Now, one writer said this. He said, next to salvation truth, it is vitally important for the believer to know the Bible doctrine of the church. And I've been meditating just on that all day long, and I think there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, after we understand the doctrine of salvation, then I think it's essential that we understand the doctrine of the church. Now, a lot of us have been in church a lot, maybe for several years, or some their entire life, think that we know everything there is to know about what the Bible teaches concerning the church. But I don't think that's true, because there is so much there is so much misguided teaching concerning the church. And we started last week, if you watched the video last week, and talked about the foundation of the church. Now, let's begin here in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18. The Bible said, let's just catch verse 17 for context. Matthew 16, 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, let's pray. Let's start out in prayer before we tackle this. All right, let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to pray. Thank you for the privilege to be able to gather tonight, Lord, to try to examine what the Bible says about the church. And I pray, God, you'd help us to do that, Father, and rightly divide it and say what you'd have us to. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, Jesus tells Peter, he said, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, a lot of people think the church, as we know it, began right here. Now, the word church simply means a called out assembly. Oftentimes, it is used just to speak of an assembly. And what we'll find is the word does not all the time, the word church does not all the time refer to a New Testament local church like we know of. And go to Acts chapter number 7. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. I'm talking about this word church, okay? So every time we see the word church in the Bible, we need to understand, again, it's not necessarily a New Testament Bible church like we know of today. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter number 7, look at this, Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7 and verse number 38. Acts 7 and verse 38. Well, let's look at verse 37. Verse 37. And this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you and your brethren, and like unto me, and him shall ye hear. And this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. And so God called the children of Israel in the wilderness. Here he refers to them as a church. Now, that was not a New Testament church as we know it. Would you agree with that? But what that is it's an assembly of people that have been called out. What have they been called out from? They've been called out of Egypt. God had delivered them out of Egypt, and they had been called out. And so, simply, they were a called out assembly. Now, one thing that a lot of people get confused, well, let me say it this way. Some people think that because of that the church began in the Old Testament. And a lot of the promises made to Israel now are, those promises are now relatable to the church. And I'm going to say that's false doctrine tonight. We cannot relate the promises. As a matter of fact, when we study the Scripture and we learn this in hermeneutics, or some of you remember that, it's always necessary to realize the things that are different are not the same. That's one of the essential rules in interpreting Scripture. Things that are different are not the same. Now, that may sound simple, but it's a great truth that a lot of people get confused on. And to understand the church, as I think the Bible really teaches about the New Testament church, we have to learn to separate the Jew and the Gentile and the church of God. Now, Ephesians chapter number 3 tells us this. Go to Ephesians chapter number 3 real quick. Ephesians chapter number 3. Again, I told you we're going to look at a lot of Scripture tonight. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 3. Ephesians 3 and 3. He said, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Look at verse 6. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Verse 7. "Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." And what Paul was saying is simply this, that the church was a mystery unto them of old. It was not revealed to them. He said there in verse number 5, "which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets." What is the mystery? Here it is in verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise." The mystery was this, that the Jew and the Gentile could be together in one body according to his promise. That was the mystery. What is the body? Well, we looked at that last week, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. The Bible talks about us being baptized. Let's just go there and look at those verses again. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. "To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of the miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one body, hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And so the mystery was this, that it is the body of Christ. That's a mystery, that Jew and Gentile would be baptized into one body according to the heir of his promise. And that was the mystery. Well, if it was a mystery to them of old, then it couldn't have started in the Old Testament. Right? So what the point I'm making is this, Every time we see the word church mentioned, it does not necessarily mean the body of Christ, okay? When he recalls the assembly in the wilderness, the church, he's not referring to the body of Christ. He's simply referring to an assembly that had been called out of Egypt. Alright? So, let's think about the Jew and the Gentile and the church of the living God. What is a Jew? The Jews are the children of Israel. The nation which sprang from Abraham and the line of Isaac and Jacob, who according to the divine purpose and promise are the chosen, this is important, are the chosen earthly people to God. The Jews are an earthly people. And all the promises made to Israel are earthly promises. He told Abraham, he said, I will make a great nation out of thee. And it was a promise of land. It was a promise of seed. They're earthly people. This nation has been miraculously preserved to the present time, and according to the prophecy of the Word of God, will yet be the dominant glorified people of the earth in the coming kingdom age. Isaiah chapter number 62. Four words describe the outworking of the divine purpose of the Jewish people. Number one, chosen. They were chosen of God, God's chosen people. Scattered. They were scattered. But then gathered. They're going to be regathered. They're going to be gathered again and then blessed. So we see the Jew is chosen, was scattered, will be gathered, and will be blessed. So the Jew, but what about the Gentile? The Gentiles are the vast, unnumbered company, excluding the Israelites who have lived on the earth from Adam until now. Apart from certain individuals, there is no record that during the period from Adam to Christ that God sustained any special relation or extended any immediate promise to them. Think about that. There's no record that God made any kind of great promise or extended promise unto the Gentile people. It's always to the Jewish people. But a Gentile simply is, it's damned that we're not of the seed of Abraham. But then what about the church? Well, we read about it there in 1 Corinthians. The church, the body of Christ as we know it, is a distinct people. Because each individual in that company being born again enters into the kingdom of God. And is destined to be conformed in the image of Christ. They, in the church, nationality loses its identity. In other words, Jew and Gentile into one body make up the church of the living God. Does that make sense? No longer Jew, listen, so that they lose their identity nationally in the body of Christ. But can, listen, when I got saved, I got baptized into the body of Christ. And I'm in Him tonight, in His body, and therefore lost my identity as a Gentile, and now I'm in the body of Christ, and the body is one, the Bible said. So, now, there's some different ideas, and we talked about this last week about when the church actually began. Now, the church as we know it, again, a lot of people, anytime they see the word church, well, it must have began there. They see the word that God referred to the church, or the Israelites there in the wilderness of the church, well, it must have began there. Well, what is the church? It's one body made up of Jew and Gentile that was a mystery to them of old. Alright? So, the Bible teaches this, there in 1 Corinthians again. Let me get there. I'm going to read that one more time and make a point, and then we'll move on. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let me make one point here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Now, this baptism, or baptizing that he's talking about right here, is not a water baptism. It is a spiritual baptism. He defines it. Look what he said. He said, for by the Spirit we are all baptized into one body. He's not talking about a water baptism. It's talking about spiritual baptism. You see that? So by the Spirit we are baptized. We are placed in. Of course, that word baptized, it simply means to immerse, to put in. And by the Spirit of God, God takes and puts us in to the body of Christ, whether they be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, having made all to drink into one Spirit, for the body is one member, but mainly. So, if we are baptized into one body, go to Colossians chapter 2 real quick. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Now, if somebody wanted to become part of the Jewish covenant, they had to experience circumcision. Is that right? Remember when Moses circumcised his children? Y'all remember that? Remember when Joshua chapter number 5, Joshua took the children of Israel and come across Jordan, and they're about to go in the land of Canaan, and one of the things that God said before they can go any further, that they must be circumcised. Now, circumcised was a mark of separation, and it was a sign given unto Abraham as a mark of separation of the covenant, of the Abrahamic covenant. All right? So, look what the Bible says in Colossians chapter number 2. Let me get there. Colossians chapter number 2. You ever get confused on Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians? You ever get confused on that? One preacher said this, said, and you young, he said, just always remember, girls eat popcorn. Girls eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I just thought that's pretty funny. All right. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Well, see, he's talking about the church now. Colossians 2 and verse number, I'm trying to think where I want to start here. Let's look in verse number 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Talking about Christ now. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision. Well, is that a physical circumcision? Look what he said. He said, in whom you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So, he teaches there that when an individual gets saved, not only baptized in the body of Christ, but there is a spiritual circumcision that takes place. Is that right? But the phrase there, not made with hands, you'll find that phrase mentioned, I think, about 5 or 6 times, and it's always in reference to a supernatural phenomenon. So, this circumcision is a supernatural. It's not a physical, it's not a fleshly, but it is a supernatural circumcision. Okay? Verse number 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Go to Romans chapter number 6. So the Bible said there that we're buried with him in baptism. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. In verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? Now, we done read about that baptism. That's not a water baptism right here. It's a spiritual baptism. We read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, right? Baptized into His body. We're placed into, everybody that gets saved is placed into the body of Christ. Look what he said now in Romans chapter number 6. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Again, he's talking about a spiritual baptism here where we're placed into Christ, right? Are y'all still with me? So we're placed into Christ, into the body of Christ. And the Bible says here, and then also in Colossians, that we're buried, because we're in Him, we're buried with Him, and we're resurrected to walk in the newness of life. Is that right? Now, if every individual gets placed into the body of Christ, and in that placing into the body, according to Colossians 2 and Romans 6, we're buried with Him and resurrected to walk in newness of life, how can the church, as we know it, be established until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Because we are placed in Him, in His death, and in His burial, and His resurrection. Isn't that what the Bible says? So therefore, the church could not be established until after the death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? Now, we're baptized into the body. Remember when John would come out preaching in John chapter number 1? He said, I baptize with water, not henceforth. He said, there cometh one after me that shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Acts 1 and 5. Jesus telling those disciples. It's interesting too. Acts 1 and 5. Jesus tells those disciples, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus said in Acts 1 and 5, He said, in a few days, you're going to be baptized by the Spirit of God. Amen? Into the body of Christ. When did that happen? Acts 2. The descension of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, so there is what we know as a lot of people refer to as the universal church. I said this last week in the class and I don't like that term because the Catholic Church has hijacked that. But I was reading one writer and he made a good point. He used these terms. He said, we see the church as an organism. And then we see the local church as an organization. I like that. Amen. But what we have is we have the mystical church, if you will, the body of Christ. Then we have the physical church, the local New Testament church. Right? Now, there's some believe that there's no such thing as a mystical church, as that. In order to be in the body of Christ, you have to be, that's talking about a local church, a local assembly. Well, I don't see how you get that out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I don't see how you get that out of Romans 6 and Colossians 2. It's clear and evident that when an individual gets saved, that there is a spiritual baptism that takes place that places us into the body of Christ. Amen. So, but we believe in the local New Testament church. So, let's think about this. So there is some that believe, there is a group called Baptist Briders that believe that your baptism has to be authorized by a New Testament church that has been established properly in order for you to be a part of the bride of Christ. That's just foolishness. Amen. Salvation is a spiritual work in the body of Christ. Amen. Now, what happened was God, or Christ instituted the local church and, of course, built upon the foundation of the apostles and so forth, and started what we know we have as a local church. Now, so they are too. There's a mystical church or a universal church, and then there's a local or a physical church, right? I don't see how you can come up with any other conclusion than that if you study the scriptures. So, but let's think about this though. Let's look at several references. The word church is used 77 times in the New Testament, and churches, the word churches is used 37 times. 77 times church, 37 times churches. Let's go to Acts chapter number 2. Now we read in Matthew 16:18, and then you'll find in Matthew 18:17 where there talks about the disciplinary action of the church. But Acts chapter number 2, verse number 47. Acts 2, verse 47. Acts 2, verse 47. Now I want to ask you a question when I read this verse. Acts 2, 47. We do believe that there is a mystical or universal church, the body of Christ. And then we also believe, though, that there is a local church, right? Now, when we look at these verses, ask yourself this question, is this the universal church or is this the local church? Well, what's he talking about, right? Let's look at Acts 2, 47. He said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, is he talking about the body of Christ or the local church? In the context, go to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5, verse number 11. Acts 5 and 11. The Bible said, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these sayings. So, great fear came upon the church. Is he talking about the assembled believers at that place, or is he talking about the body of Christ? Go to Acts chapter number 7. Well, we didn't look at that one. That was the wilderness. Go to Acts chapter number 8, verse number 1. Acts 8 and 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, watch this, which was at Jerusalem. So is that the local church he's talking about there, or is that the universal church? That's pretty clear right there. That's the local church, right? It's at Jerusalem. The body of Christ is, that's heavenly, by the way. All right, go to look in verse number 3. Acts 8 and 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison. Well, verse 3, is he talking about a local church or the body of Christ? Look what he said. And Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hauling men and women, committed them to prison. It appears like it was several different assemblies, don't it? Right? Alright, so let's go to, I'm going to make a point just a minute, alright? Just stay with me. Acts chapter number 9, verse number 31. Acts 9, verse 31. Acts 9, verse 31. The Bible said, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and were multiplied. So look at this verse. Then had the churches, plural, rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. Pretty clear there that he's talking about a physical church, right, or a local church, right? All right, go to chapter number 11, verse number 22. Acts 11, 22. Acts 11, 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. It's pretty evident. That's a local church, right? All right. Let's go on. Let's get out of the book of Acts just a little bit. Let's get out of the book of Acts. Let's go to, and there's several other in the book of Acts. You can look them up when you get a chance. And it's a good thing to do to look up all the references and see, is that a local church? Or is that talking about the body of Christ? Now, that's important tonight. Okay? Alright, let's go to Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter 16, verse number 1. Romans 16 and 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Caesarea. So, pretty obvious local church, right? Let me give you a couple more and then we'll move forward. Let's go to verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks unto all the churches of the Gentiles. Would you say that's a local church? Churches. The local churches of the Gentiles. Alright. Let's move forward. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm going to make a point just a minute. Hang with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Local church, right? Physical church. The church at Corinth. You see that? This is the church, on Pensacola. Amen. This is a Concord church. And he said, unto the church at Corinth. So it is a physical assembly of believers he's talking about right there. Okay? Go to, go to chapter 12 again. Let me skip some of these. Go to chapter 12. Chapter 12. Now, we've been in chapter 12 a couple times already. Let's go to verse 28. Now, remember, he's writing to a local church, right? The church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 28. And God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles and gifts of healings, helps and governments and diversities of tongues, are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. But covet earnestly the best gifts and shew I unto you a more excellent way. So, would you say he's talking about the local church or the body of Christ? Well, it appears to me there is a local church. He's talking about the offices of the church, right? He said, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, second, early prophets. He's talking about the different offices. Okay, go to Galatians chapter number 1. I encourage you, and I'm not going to, I've got 77 plus 37. I mean, is that? I got that many references here. All right. I'm not going to look at all of them. But go to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 2. Galatians 1 and 2. Unto all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Well, it's clear he's writing to the churches, plural, in the region of Galatia. Okay? Let's see here. Let me give you one more. Let's go to, Colossians. Go back to Colossians. I think the word church is used in Colossians. Well, the word church is not used, but verse number 2, and the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. So he's writing to the local church. That's the point I'm trying to make right here, okay? It is clear that there is a mystical, a universal church. That is clear, right? But when you read the New Testament, after the foundation of the New Testament church, the majority of the references are toward a local church or a local assembly, right? I mean, we looked at them. What was the majority of them? Just think about it. And we just looked at a handful. You can get your concordance down and look up the rest of them when you get a chance. But the majority of the ones we looked at were in reference to a local body of believers. Okay? Now, the point I'm making is this, that the majority of the references in the New Testament is talking about a local church, a local body of believers. Okay? Those that have been baptized into the body of Christ now assemble together and make up a local body of baptized believers. Now, so I'd say this, here's why. The Bible makes much of the local church. Now, there's a lot of people say, well, I'm saved and I may not be going to church, but I'm in Christ. I'm part of the church. Well, if you're saved, you're part of the body of Christ. Amen. And somebody said, well, if you're saved, you don't have to go to church. Well, if you're saved, you'll want to go to church, by the way. Amen. But the Bible makes much of the local church. The Pauline epistles, it's local church. He's writing to local church. These letters, these epistles are to the local church. And so there's much made about the local church. Now, the first church, as far as baptized believers, as far as an assembly, a New Testament church as we know it, was established at Jerusalem. And God gave them a command, Acts 1:8. He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He gave them that command there. Now, what you'll find when you read the book of Acts is that they did not follow through with that. They stayed in Jerusalem. They didn't send people out in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It was a church in Jerusalem made up of Jews, primarily, okay? And it wasn't until the salvation of the Apostle Paul, and I think that what you'll find in Acts chapter number 8, you'll find a threefold rejection of God. The Jewish nation rejected God the Father, they rejected God the Son, they rejected God the Holy Spirit in Acts 8. And God saved Paul in chapter 9, and he started preaching to he was the apostle to the what? Gentiles. Right? Well, I think what you'll find, if you see the book of Acts, you'll find this, that the first church established in Jerusalem was told to take the gospel unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, and they refused to do that. And God allowed persecution to come into that church to disperse that church, to get the gospel out in all the world. But the point I want to make tonight is that I believe that the church began at Pentecost. Some think it began before that. But I think when you look at the doctrine of baptism, I personally don't say I can see it any other way. Okay? Now some may disagree with me on that, and that's fine. One fellow said this, and I've been chewing on it here lately a whole lot. He said, I've never learned anything from anybody I agreed with 100%. And I thought, well, that don't make no sense. And he said, if you disagree with them, he said, they'll make you think. And I thought, well, there's a lot of sense in that. Amen. You may disagree with me on it, but I'm telling you, I believe the church started at Pentecost. But what we see is God makes much of the local church. And what we're going to do in the coming days is we're going to examine the workings of the New Testament local church. There's a push right now to tear down denominations, right? There's a push right now, this non-denominational crowd and this contemporary crowd, everybody wanting to take Baptist off their sign. There's a reason. I said, well, you don't have to be called one of them. I said, they may be taking church. They're taking church off their sign. I was talking to a fellow about this evening, and I said, you know what? I said, when you go to McDonald's and you see the sign, McDonald's, and you pull in the parking lot, you know what's on the menu before you ever walk through the door. Isn't that right? You know why? Because the sign says McDonald's. And you probably pretty much know it don't matter where you go to in the country, hey, that McDonald's got a Big Mac in there. Oh, amen. You go down the road to Hardee's, you know pretty much what you're going to get when you go in there because of what it says on the sign. Is that right? And we can say that about anything. And I said that to say this. Hey, the church called out assembly and Baptist, and said, well, I don't have to identify. Well, it lets people know what we are, what we teach, what we preach, the doctrines that we stand on. We're just not Baptist. Somebody said, well, we're Baptist because John the Baptist was. No, friend. Amen. And we're going to get into that. But the point I'm trying to make is God makes much of the local church. And if God makes much of the local church, then we should make much of the local church. We need to understand what the Bible teaches about the local church. And listen, how the work local church is to be run, how it's to be orchestrated. I'm going to get ahead of myself, and I'm not going to deal with it in depth tonight, but there's two ordinances. We believe in two ordinances of the local church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Years ago, I took a church, and I was looking over the bylaws, and in that bylaws, it said this. It said, I'm trying to think exactly how they word it. We participate in three ordinances. The Lord's Supper, baptism, and foot washing. Now, foot washing is not an ordinance of the church. Amen? It's not. There's some good teaching in that. And I ain't got time to get into all that, but that's not an ordinance of the church. We have two ordinances. It is baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we need to understand what the Bible teaches about those two ordinances. We need to understand what the Bible teaches about the offices of the church and all those things. There's a lot of misconception on that, all right? So, the church. Is the church important? Well, the Bible made it important. I said, well, I don't think you ought to go to church. Well, listen, rip out the book of Acts all the way to, the book of Jude, or really the book of Revelation, and just rip it out. Don't even read it because it makes much of the church. Amen. I'm amazed. People say, well, I'm a Bible believer, and you don't have to go to church. And if you're a Bible believer, you'll make much of the church because the Bible makes much of the church. Amen. And makes much of the local church. There's more said, now I believe in the universal body of Christ. I believe I've showed that tonight. But there's more said about the local New Testament assembly of believers. There's more taught around that in the scriptures than the universal body. Amen. And if the Bible makes much, if Christ makes much of it, then you and I need to make much of it. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Somebody thinks it started there, but that's a future statement. I will build my church. And he's not talking about Peter, by the way. He's the little rock. Christ is the big rock. Amen. But listen, the church tonight, we're going to look at some more of the church in the days ahead. All right, read your textbook about the church. There what it says, all that it says about the church. And we'll come back and look at it some more. All right? Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your grace tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, I want to thank you for the church. I thank you, God, that I'm positionally in you. And I thank you for that, Lord. But I thank you, God, that you put me in a local church of believers, God. Like-minded believers, Lord. I'm thankful for that tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help us now, Lord, to rightly divide the Word of truth. God, I pray, Lord, help us to be balanced in our approach to the Scripture. And Father, we thank you for all you do. Bless everybody that's here tonight. Watch over them, God, as they travel home. Bless all the students, even online. Help us, God, I pray. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.